Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday here on the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. And you know what that means. It's weekly challenge time. Oh, boy. That means a whole bunch of stories on a topic. What topic is it? It's pork, of course. What, you thought it wouldn't be pork? Well, guess what? It's pork. Don't even bother guessing, because I'm telling you. And there's two cats near me. I've got little Mist on the table, and I've got Tinny on the side table. Yeah, I'm petting them both at the same time. Isn't that great? Okay. Well, I think you've come here for stories, not audio renditions of me petting cats. So let's start with, I don't know, let's see. Let's go with Tom. I think he's got some updates for us. Tom, let's get it started.
And I've got updates. Movement. Whiskey Monday moves into the 79th place, passing Tara Lynn, Thomas Reed, Rich, Ted, Lori, Catherine from Vienna, Dave X, Dondo, Suri, Thomas, Paladin, Luke, Lightning, Mineta, Wilma, Stephanie, PJ, and Dionysus. Bot Girl occupies the 33rd position with 33 stories, tied with Jay Rasmussen, and one behind Elmo Schumann. Cliff moves into the 16th place, four stories behind our good friend Caleb Bullen. Young Danny Dwyer leaps over Beauchamp's, thus becoming the 13th monkey, a mere five stories from gold. We have a new fourth monkey. Sing displaces Zachman with 217 stories. He currently has posted for 40 weeks in a row. But the best news tonight is Master Muncie. It is my honor to inform the founder that Mr. Monroe has posted 100 stories, and to him may be conferred the title of Golden Monkey.
Okay, hold on. Let me get my conferring shoes on. And, oh, wait, that's the left one. And stop playing with the laces, stupid cat. And, all right. And I can go and up and done. All right, now we can go listen to a story.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 8. Mother sat silently, hands in lap. A tall, raven-haired woman glided towards her. She nodded and took the seat at the opposite end of the table. In short time, all but one chair was taken. All present stood when Magdalena Bozeman made her way to the table. The dark-haired woman went about introducing each of the guests to Mrs. Bozeman. Each was greeted with a smile of solemnity. When Mother heard her name, she felt a hand reach out. Major Parsons was indeed an excellent man. His counsel will be missed. Senator Smith, please see to Widow Parsons. Mother would have rolled her eyes if she could, but years of enduring the gauntlet of social events had taught her, no matter the contention at hand, always project a Zen mask. All the same, the mere mention of Senator Pork Barrel Smith in close proximity to her late husband was distasteful. "Thank you, Mrs. Bozeman," said Mother, catching a peripheral glance at the honorable gentleman. The Parsons family wealth came from cattle, and her father made sure his daughter could size up a competing bidder. The look in Senator Smith's eyes was a man sizing up a heifer.
"Hey, let's don't go sizing up heifers around here, man. No heifers, just cats. And people. Petting the cats. Thank you, Tom. And congratulations, Muncie. Maybe I'll wait until your story and whatever. Let's just keep going here, no matter how tired I am. Jeffrey? Sure. Okay. Jeffrey's back. And I don't know. Something interesting about him. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Try to make introductions and you know that. Okay. I've done my job as a host. Here's his story.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here, back with my stories for this week's 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge on the topic of pork. Pork. Oh, Lawrence, why did it have to be pork? Well, you do what you can. On with the stories. My first story is called How the Sausage is Made. The process started out innocently enough. Senator Graft wanted a post office named for his political mentor, a six-term congressman currently serving a 15-year sentence for bribery. Sure, roll it into the defense bill, said the majority leader. Next came Senator Sleaze, who wanted some federal dollars for repairing an old drive-in movie theater back in his home state. A couple of million dollars was nothing to the farm bill, and if that's what it took to buy Sleaze's vote, so be it. From there, the pork kept oinking. A billion here, 10 billion there, and soon they were talking about real borrowed money. Yet no one understood why Congress was so unpopular. My second story is called The Civilized Way to Resolve Disputes. Beef brisket, Tex said, cocking his hat and touching the top of his holster. Wrong. Pulled pork, replied Sam, smoothing his mustache and giving a reassuring pat to his own revolver. Spice rub. Sauce. Wood-burning grill. Tex was turning red with rage. Smoker. Sam looked Tex in the eye, trying to maintain his breathing. The rest of the customers in the diner looked nervous. Some had even sidled near the exits, having a fair idea of what would come next. The two combatants nodded at one another. Draw, said Tex. Sam placed a plate on the table, a grilled bun heaping with pulled pork and a side of slaw. Tex whipped out a second plate with brisket on toast with a side of beans. Each sat, tasted the others, and decided the world was big enough for different types of barbecue.
No, it's not. It's not big enough for two different kinds of barbecue. We need a fight. Maybe I should change the topic next week to two guys fighting over plates of barbecue. Nah, already posted. Thank you, Jeffrey. Yeah. Pet the cat tummy. I should take a picture of Mist. She's looking so cute. Just laying up here on the table. So many weeks of no podcast. And now, I've got too many of them. Oh well. If I don't pet her tummy, she goes after my hand while I'm using the mouse. One person that wouldn't go after my hand while using the mouse would be Richards, who stands upon the shoulders of giants to shout this story. Or stories. No, it's stories. Shout these stories to you.
Good morning. Yes, the week is over and you've made it to Sunday. The big question is, can you make it through this week's podcast? Theme was pork. These are my stories. With the threat of night drawing ever closer, George's positive mood began to fade as quickly as the daylight. He became acutely aware how conspicuous the noisy bulldozer was in the empty streets, and he realised the slow-moving and cumbersome vehicle had its drawbacks. He had visions of zombies overpowering him and feasting on his brain. Vaguely, he wondered what human flesh tasted like. Was it chicken or pork? He couldn't remember. He rounded another corner, where his headlights picked out a yard full of rusting shipping containers. At last, he had a perfect retreat for the night ahead. Story number two is called Pork. I looked dubiously at the plate of meat, potatoes and corn, and gave the waiter a questioning look. I'd learned to be wary about food during my South American journey, and although this appeared to be rather an upmarket restaurant, this was still Ecuador. Are you sure this is pork? Sí, señor. It is pig. The waiter smiled. Pig. Sí, pig. I shrugged and reluctantly tucked into my meal. It didn't taste like pork to me. Later, leaving the restaurant, I stole a glance through the kitchen doorway. There, neatly skewered over the barbecue, were rows of roasting guinea pig. This one's called Muppets. It always amazed me that the Muppet Show made it past the censors. If ever there was an abusive relationship and a bad example to set for kids, it was the pairing of Kermit and Miss Piggy. What chance did poor puny Kermit stand against his domineering, violent other half? I shudder to think of the damage that infamous pork chop might inflict if she ever cornered him. However, it seems that Kermit had an ally. I have it, on excellent authority, that the Swedish chef was known to turn a blind eye to Kermit's occasional misuse of the bacon slicer. And that is just about it, because pork is not a subject that inspires me. I hope it inspired you, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say about it. Speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. We'll be forewarned about such crazy, evil hijinks regarding meat. Why, it could be cat meat. No, it's not cat meat. No, I just tweeted a photo of a mist laying on the table here. You mean, are you a good girl? Yes, you are. No, no bitey. No bitey. No, no, no. It has cleaned all the goop out of her eyes. Yeah, you get all the goopies. Well, I'm going to get all the chinnies. There, rub on the kitty chin. Okay. What's next? Muncie? Okay. First, congratulations, Muncie, on 100 stories. You are epic. Okay. I know that wasn't exciting. All right. Say that monthly phrase one more time.
Cousin Larry! Welcome to this, your last week as my Cousin Larry. Will you miss it, Cousin Larry? Will you? No, I suppose you likely won't, judging by the threats I've been receiving. In fact, perhaps in this case, it is I who am being ridiculous, and of course you won't miss it. Nonetheless, it's always with a heavy heart that I retire a collective nickname, and this case is no exception. Still, chin up and all that, isn't that right? Let's do a story, shall we? A story about a classic 80s sitcom called The Nostalgia Files, Television, by Christopher Monroe. It was a monster hit, and no mystery why. A woman in Boulder, Colorado takes a pig, fresh from the farm, as a roommate, and hilarity ensues as it does its best to fit into human society. The clash of cultures was a goldmine of comedic possibility, a well that would never run dry. Yeah. By the third season, the show had run its course. Midway through the fourth, it was cancelled, and most agree it should have ended 2 years sooner. Still, many fans of classic TV still have a soft spot in their heart for Pork and Mindy. Pork and Mindy. Just horrible. Broken escalator, tweets at Munzee Munzee, etc. Thus ends your month as my Cousin Larry, Cousin Larry. But don't cry that it's over. Smile that it happened. After all...
Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are this time, nothing's gonna stand in my way. Flame in my heart, like a long-lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end. Standing tall on the wings of my dreams. Rise and fall on the wings of my dreams. The rain and thunder, the wind and haze, I'm bound for better days. It's my life, my dream. Nothing's gonna stop me now.
Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Somewhere in a parallel universe, I'm also raising an eyebrow and staring at the screen. Thank you, 1C. If I mention that it's Sunday... Oh, okay. We've got more stories coming along here. Thank you, Muncie, for yet another weekly... I don't know what to call it. I know what to call what's coming up here. Here's one by Explorer. She's got, she's got some pretty strong feelings about pork. They're not good ones, but... You know, not every topic can be a winner, but every now and then one jumps in and I'm like, okay, you've asked for it 10 times, fine. You know, a curse upon your houses. And I forget that I have to listen to them all. Here's an admonition, a warning. Be careful out there, that some sections of the supermarket lead to perdition.
All right, guys, my 100-word stories on pork. And just so you know, for the record, I have issues with pork. 2 kinds of pork. I have issues with pork that comes from a pig because it's not kosher, and I really do not even like the look of animals that are pigs. And the other pork that I have issues with is, of course, our corporate offices that are businesses out there that take advantage of pork and really hurt the people that work for them so they can make more pork for their pockets. So here we go, pork. I have issues with pork. Pork is not kosher. We call it treif, non-kosher food. I recently had to take my mother shopping. And of all the places she needed to visit, it was Walmart. Walmart is a company based on pork, not necessarily the kind you eat, but the kind that pads their pockets. Walmart pads the pockets of other porkers, i.e., the Koch brothers. What really irks me is how Walmart treats their employees, like pigs in a trough. Walmart partnered with the International Labor Organization, ILO, to create better work programs. Something's not kosher, and I smell pork. I thank you for letting me do a piece on pork.
And there you go. A warning on 2 different kinds of pork. Possibly 3, maybe 4. Read into the subtext there. I think 7. Are there 7? I haven't looked in the dictionary. Oh, well. Thank you, Explorer, for, enlightenment. I feel enlightened, don't you? I don't feel terribly light, but I feel enlightenment. I have a candle on. But that's to get rid of the stench of, a little beastie up here that I'm petting her tummy. Yes, you're all full of kitty farts, aren't you? Yeah, that's what I say when I'm full of farts and I blame them on the cat. Yes, you are so blameless. You just love having your chinny scratched. That's why you're up on the table within arm's reach. It's called evolution. Yeah. It's why tables evolved. Okay. What? It's time for Sing's adventure? Ooh, he's getting another one in a writing contest down there. And let's see, have you won them yet? Have you achieved victory conditions? Is there a site that we can vote? Stack the deck? I don't know. Folks, if you see Sing around there and you see a site and there are like buttons to click on and you can make them win. And then like people go, ew, you had a whole bunch of people vote for you. You stacked the deck. No, it was me. I stacked the deck. He didn't ask me to. That's the thing. This dude's like, righteous, man. The good dude. Doesn't like, everyone vote for me and like me and plus one me and retweet me. And no, never seen that. This guy's going to win him, honestly. And then everybody gets pork.
Drum Politics by Chris Mooney Singh. 1. Finally, Ajit Singh reached the Gurdwara on Duncan Gardens Road. On a layover from the Singapore Airlines Belfast route, the newly employed pilot from India had come to fulfill a promise to his father. First, pay respects at the Sikh temple wherever you land. Inside, Shabad Kirtan music led him. Shoes off, he climbed stairs to bow before the holy book, Sri Guru Granth Sahib, on its platform dressed with embroidered cloths. Next to the ragi, singing with wheezy harmonium, Ajit saw tablas. He offered to drum. Soon he was adding tempo and adroit energy. It pleased the gathering. That's how he came to join the Belfast Bhangra boys. After chapatis and chai, they were suddenly bundling him into a minibus along with costumes and big Punjabi folk drum. Ajit had volunteered to play the dhol because their drummer had rushed to India for a family emergency. Is truly Guru's blessing you walk it in like this, Poilet Ji? Balbir Singh said in English with a Belfast accent. It is my duty, said the man from Punjab. He came from a devout family. Now they were driving to the Solstice Percussion Festival, organized to raise positive awareness for immigrants through music. Three. What's that? Ajit asked. They were passing wall murals of paramilitary figures and slogans, dark men in balaclavas wielding automatic weapons. Belfast history, the troubles, Balbir said, whose nickname was Bilu. He told of those bad Protestant Catholic years. They seemed identical to Sikh-Hindu relations since the 1984 storming of the Golden Temple by the Indian Army. Ajit's own uncle Sarabjit and family had been murdered along with thousands of others by massed mobs in reprisal for Indira Gandhi's assassination. Reaction begets reaction. Provincial Punjab and Northern Ireland had a lot in common. 4. Bhai, Bilu said, it was better for Indians when the Goras were fighting amongst themselves. Now the whites have turned the heat up on all immigrants, new and old. That is bad, Ajit said. It's true then? Belfast is the race hate capital of Europe. Hate crime's getting worse, yes. Bilu cited the recent example of the Roma gypsy community whose homes were smashed by brick-wielding thugs. The Romas had been repatriated to Romania. It's the ultra-right nationalists, Bilu said. Those Nazis keep stirring. Last week, someone was attacked walking home from the Gurdwara, he added. They solemnly drove on. 5. The Solstice Percussion Fest was being staged a few kilometres away off Dundonald Road on farmland archaeologists claimed was a Neolithic dolmen burial site. The Bhangra boys, 8 in all, including Ajit, parked outside the gate. They changed into bright Punjabi folk costumes and stiffly starched turbans with ends standing up like fins of swordfish. Soon the boys were walking down the hill path to the tabletop barrow on the other side of the field, joining stage and audience. Their outfits and tall, burly stature drew appreciative attention. Obviously, this audience had come for spectacle. African djembe and talking drums played on. There was conga, samba, percussion. Dumbek, zab, daf and frame drums represented the Middle East. Bilu filled Ajit in about Northern Ireland traditions. Only since the end of the Troubles had the big bass lambeg, associated with loyalist parades, and the smaller bodhran, used at secular Catholic gatherings, shared the stage without inciting violence. The politics of drumming still needed careful negotiation. Meanwhile, the patient Bhangra boys waited, like their long history. Punjabi drumming went back to at least the Mughal times and evolved infectious dance forms that had morphed also with world disco. 7. All were represented, including the Orange Men's marching drum. It was later when the Bodhran group played that the Troubles threatened to return. On the far hill, a lambeg player banged skins while ultra-nationalist silhouettes displayed Nazi salutes. Curved bamboo sticks beat out a dominating rhythm to silence what the Bodhran represented. The audience was agitated. Ajit was first to act. The big cylinder doll around neck, he started base side with hooked stick, the other with flexible cane heading midfield. The mesmerizing Bhangra beat cut straight through the 2-4 time signature, creating a buffer zone for Ireland's troubled history. With joyful explosions of Harippa, Harippa, Hurrah! As they wheeled. The wowed crowd joined en masse. Disarmed, the men in balaclavas slunk into the night, and in solidarity, the drums of the world took out membership in the Dole Action Party. Two hours later, the minibus dropped the worn-out pilot opposite his hotel. Crossing the road, a meat van came from nowhere. He leapt aside. Under streetlights, Ajit could see the leering driver and Kilkenny Pork logo accelerating away. His heart was pounding. Waheguru! He knew Belfast's troubles were far from over.
Thank you, Singh. And can we get the Bungaroo Boys over here to do a new theme song for this podcast? That would be most bungarific. And good luck with the writing contest there. Let us know, man. I just started the laundry. Got it going. And I remembered to throw my Astros hat in there because, man, the sweat stains on that sucker. Woo! Disgusting. Look like a salt mine or something. And Tinny follows me in here. Hello, little Tinny boy. Yes, I got your tail. Who's a good little girl? Okay. Who's up? Who's next? You ask. Lizzie. Lizzie's got things going. I've already got the trash out. And I need to do the litter boxes. Let's see. I write things on a whiteboard. And then when I go to sleep, I look at the whiteboard and think, oh, that's what I forgot to do today. Yeah. So here's Lizzie. I did not forget to include Lizzie's story. So here it is. We love you very much.
The swineherd was tired of having to deal with the increasingly frustrating low profits. Intermediaries drove him crazy with inconceivable demands. Before, he sold everything. That's what was good about pork. No waste. Now, only certain parts were favored. So, he decided to give away the waste. Roasted, and with a twist, as a personal gift to the intermediaries, who eagerly took it all. They asked what the twist was, but he never gave away the secret to the other tasty bits of meat in the inviting roast, especially when the headline said, "Businessman of pork industry vanishes mysteriously." This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcuff.blogspot.com. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. And I just want to say the chopped up bits in those sandwiches I gave out are pulled pork, not little bits of people who aren't in the weekly challenge anymore. Now, Allison and Caleb and Guy David and even Terry, nope. Not gonna tell you. Although, I'll tell you what wine goes with them. Oh, no. Ooh, we got a last minute addition here. Hold on, I need to save this. I won't say who it is, but it's a good one. I love it when people come in at the last minute while I'm actually putting the podcast together, as opposed to when I've already published it. Well, then I can just post them up later. You know, and if you're inspired by the topic that's already been posted, and you're like, I wanted to be in that one, and it's okay. First, stop whining like that. It's annoying. And two, write the story, record it, and send it to me, and I'll get it up. Don't just write the story and send it to me. I'll just read it and say, that's nice. No. I'm not going to record it for you. Robot's not going to record it for you. You got to record it. I know. It. The world is a tough and cruel and awful place. And I'm just so mean. Right. That's just... Tora's probably getting annoyed that they've got the lead-in from hell here. You know, me going off the rails. But, oh well. That's what rails are for. Going off. And coming right up here in the next train, though, is Tora with their story. See how I salvaged that? You can write a few things down, take some lessons.
Rabbi Dougal visited Rabbi Hamish. After they greeted one another, Rabbi Dougal said, "I see you're having your tea, Hamish, but surely that's not bacon you're frying." Rabbi Hamish replied that it was kosher beef, genetically modified to taste like bacon. Rabbi Dougal asked, "But what if they used pig genes?" Rabbi Hamish argued, "They're pig genes, all right, but they didn't come from a pig. Completely artificial. Same genetic sequence, but made in the laboratory." Rabbi Dougal then asked, "Could you make a whole kosher pig that way?" At this, God declared, "No." Rabbi Hamish responded. Well, that's one opinion.
Man, I actually jumped at that. Woo! Scary. Oh, thank you, Tura. And, how about a genetically modified cat?
Yeah. No, you're not a genetically modified cat. You're just a splotchy mutant. Yes, you are. Hi, hello.
She wants to go out and do laundry with me. The laundry card ran out of credit, so I did. Oh, crap. I gotta take the credit card out there and deal with the little VTM and this and that. Oh, pain in the ass. So, thank you, Tora. And what are you bumping your head on me for? You a happy girl? Yes, you are. You are so happy. Yeah, Gina's off with some friends for the weekend, so both the cats are like, they go as late as they can without realizing I'm the only human around, and then both of them gang up on me. It's like, oh, pet me, no, pet me. No, he's not going to pet you. No, he's not going to pet you. Meow, meow, and all that. Danny's got a pretty meow. Yeah, she does. Then, of course, sometimes, you know, missed corners, Tinny. And it's all hissy-hissy, but right now she's rubbing against me. She's such a happy little girl. Okay, yeah, we raised her right. You had yourself such a little tough kittenhood, but we turned that around. Meow. What? No pet your ear? Oh, you don't like your jaw being pet. Okay. Weirdo. Probably have to have the vet look at that again. How many more teeth does he have to yank out? You're going to wind up drinking from a straw. Okay. Now she's insulted. You insulted the kitty. Stop it. Okay, so who's next? Who's oh, Serendipity. Okay. How's things? Things are great. I can't stop thinking I should lighten up and be a little less macabre with these stories. Ah, sod it. I'll go with what comes naturally. That's the spirit. Ha ha ha. Here's Serendipity. All macabre.
Any devotee of TV crime dramas will tell you that pork is the nearest thing you can get to human flesh. If you want to see realistic results from your ballistic tests, or need to know what a frenzied knife attack will do to a body, just hang a pig in the lab, and away you go. Whilst you're at it, throw in a few sharpened screwdrivers, power drills, and blunt instruments. It's all good, clean fun. Personally, I find that pork is far too expensive to waste. So I'll be sticking to the real thing for the time being.
Okay, we've got a lot of comparisons of humans to pork now. I'm telling you, Soylent Green, no one's going to buy it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Serendipity. Yep, now she's cleaning, because all that petting I did, disgusting human cooties, probably taste like pork, and now she's eating all the porky bits.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That gets you a taste for human flesh. I should sleep with one eye open.
Oh. Who's next? Cliff, of course. What, you thought it wouldn't be Cliff? No, it's Cliff. And here's his story, let's see, is it going to be about humans tasting like pork, or about corporate pork, or has anyone used pork for, well, you know what? No, not yet. Well, you know, there's still time. There's always Zach, man. Or, you know, Lola. Let's just listen to Cliff for now. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Then I would be looking back saying to me, come on, get up here. I'm already up here. What are you doing back there? That doesn't make any sense.
Jimmy Ray knew barbecue. He had already spread his brand of pulled pork barbecue sandwich shops over the southern United States when he came up with the idea of a world tour. With a portable kitchen and a 100-year-old recipe, he set out. In England, it flopped. In France, it fizzled. In Germany, things picked up. After all, barbecue goes very well with beer. He was an unexpectedly big hit in Bulgaria, but then the whole thing came crashing down in Afghanistan. Jimmy Ray may have known barbecue, but he didn't know squat about religion or international politics.
And that's the way it should stay. They don't like barbecue? Let's give them bombs! No, sorry. What was that again? Let's give them pie! Delicious pie with pork in it. Thank you, Cliff. I know that's being desensitive. Ah, screw it. They don't know a good barbecue when they see it. Fine, send them barbecue chicken. There. Détente, right there. Tasty détente. I've solved the world crisis. Barbecue chicken. Let's bomb them with it. No, wait, that doesn't work. With drones. Chicken drones. Stuff a rocket up a chicken's butt. It'll be cooked by the time it gets there. Someone write this down, damn it. I'm not going to remember it. Thank you, Cliff, for solving all those problems. What? Wow, I'm running out of steam. I've got a few stories to go, and no amount of flavored iced tea will get me there. Maybe I'll just have the robot do the rest of this. Okay, so here's Red Goddess's story. Lola's getting into the... Whoa, man. This is some serious drama here. Well, whew, man, this is... As if today wasn't steamy enough. I walked the laundry out. Felt like I was in a pressure cooker at the Boston Marathon. No. God, I better... No, I shouldn't post that. Ah, screw it. I will. I don't care anymore. I'm almost at 400 weeks here. You would think I'd start to come apart by now. Well, not really. Okay. I'm going to go check on the laundry while you enjoy... Red Goddess as she tells the tale of Lola. I feel like I'm on college radio here. And, yeah, that was, let me just look here. Yeah.
Crap Mariner's 100 Word Challenge. This week's challenge word is pork. This write is by Red Goddess. Talk with Marie. Daily Grind. Lola revels in the chaos before work. There is a level of traffic that's cosmopolitan, and the usual early birds are all in the streets. The toothless man who empties out the burned cigarettes from the public ashtray. Every few seconds, he lets out a disturbing laugh and mumbles, "Whose fault is it, anyway?" An older black woman, head wrapped in a colorful scarf, sweeping the front of the university theater. She always stares toward the marquee as if thinking, what if? Lola walks by the panhandler sitting on a rusty bus bench, tapping both hands on her starved thighs, humming to herself. Lola smiles and hands her a crumpled dollar bill. In the distance, Lola can smell the tiny shops. Lola sometimes stops by the meat market to buy pork for her grandmother to make a spicy stew. She can taste the stew in her mind. As she approaches the hotel, she notices Tom, a proud grandfather of twins, doing his morning stretches before his daughter drops off the kids. There are runners, cyclists, dog walkers, parents waiting for school buses, and restless children chasing pigeons. She peers inside her favorite wine cellar with a fat golden cat in a display window. Lola inhales the sweet smell of fresh bread and coffee brewing from the hotel kitchen. On a day like this, she's exactly where she belongs.
Thank you, Red Goddess, and... a guest appearance by Bonchance. In case you've been wondering where he's been, no, Sevi hasn't had... Well, maybe she has had him tied up in the basement. I don't want to suspect what they're into. Look, just looking at those heels, just scary, man. Scary. But I can't stop looking at them. I think I've been enthralled. What was the last time you've been enthralled, people? Come on, stand up. Let's all get enthralled, okay? And go. Not so easy, is it? Well, it's Sunday. You still have time to go to church and get enthralled. Or go get a barbecue sandwich and be enthralled. Or pet a cat and be enthralled. Or run 10 miles and, well, collapse of a stroke. But still, go get enthralled. That's your challenge. Maybe the next topic should be enthralled. No, it won't be. Because not much you can do with enthralled. Then again, I didn't think there was much that people could do with pork. And look at all the stuff you've come up with. Damn, you've surprised me. You know what's an even bigger surprise? Well, what Zachman came up with. God help us all.
Looky there, I sure would like to pork that. Sir, as your advisor, I must remind you that you can never know when there might be a mic on. Well, when are you going to start dating me to save me from myself? When pigs fly, sir, is when I will date a client. Don't go hog wild during tonight's event. Avoid any references to getting rid of pork. You don't want to lose the farm vote. Do not make any allusions to putting lipstick on a pig, because that type of relationship is still very much frowned upon in Iowa.
There you go. Somebody finally went there. Woo! Zach Mann wins. Podcast over. Let's move to the next one. Thank you, Zach Mann, for going where no man dares to tread. Or woman, or pig, or, well, a politician would go there. Okay, so I'm here in the den. I've got the laptop. I haven't plugged in the TV, but I keep looking at the TV like, is there going to be something there? No. Is there going to be something there? No. Also, there's no little crossbar in the A in Samsung. I just noticed that. It's a lambda. That's creepy. That's just wrong. It's an upside-down V. It's whatever. Dyslexics must be really freaked out by it. But the N can be upside down. The S, you can twirl around. It always looks like an S. The M might look like a W. There was a thing on a podcast where someone invented a font that's great for dyslexics because it puts weight on the bottom so that they can't flip around and move. And that shit sounds crazy. But I know it works with people's brains because they do crazy things. That's where crazy comes from, the brain, if you haven't heard. It doesn't come from the spine or from the hands or from the duodenum. No, it comes from the brain. That kind of shit's neat. This dude was a design dude, and he designed a new font that's like dyslexic proof. That's cool. Although, it's also kind of creepy. What else could we do? Simple shit that we can do to make the world a better place. For everyone. Not just you. Not just me. Although if you made it just for better than me, I'd be happy with that. But there'd be other people who'd be like, hey, what about me? Whatever. Speaking of people that, you know, the world should be happier for. We're talking about Norval Joe. He's still out there on vacation, so imagine a harmonica. I've got the harmonica in a file, but I'm going to keep it there. That's for me. I made my world a better place. You go back to an old episode in the archives, and you pull out that harmonica. And then you play it. Brings joy to your heart, doesn't it? Well, it doesn't. Brings joy to your brain. That's where the crazy is. Haven't you been listening? You've failed the test. Here's Norval Joe. He's going to grade your paper.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 370-something. I think it's 379, with a prompt of pork. I'm on vacation right now, having a lovely time in Aurora, Colorado, after having replaced the engine in our minivan. And spent the time renting a car to fill it in the meantime. I lost track of what day it was, so suddenly realized at dinner tonight it was Saturday. So quickly I grabbed a spare piece of paper and wrote out a 100-word story, and this is it. Durgle smiled across the table at Widow Finkelstein and wiggled his eyebrows, his mouth too full to speak. "I'm glad you like your meatloaf," she said, smiling shyly. "Too bad Long John doesn't feel the same." It was true. While the widow's Sheltie ate with abandon, Durgle's corpulent wiener dog didn't share her enthusiasm.
"He usually loves meatloaf. What did you put in it?"
Widow Finkelstein scowled.
"It's my mother's recipe, with ground beef, veal, and pork sausage." "Oh, that makes sense," Durgle said. "He has a friend who's a pig. He won't eat anything with pork in it."
Oh, well. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. And you bring up an interesting question. How do you write 100-word stories? On paper? On your little computer device there? Typing away in a window? Do you use some sort of word-counting mechanism? Do you use a handheld device, like I have here? I type it out with a DraftPad, and it counts the words for me. Do you write it with skywriting, and then desperately try to read it as the wind shift? Do you write it with dry erase marker on your bathroom mirror as someone is stabbing you with a knife? Do you draw it in cocaine on the butt of a hooker and then snort the story up? Do you have alphabet soup and you just snarf it above and vomit it and move the things around? I don't know. Noodles. However you do it so well. Keep it up. I don't know. I use all of them. I use a word count within a browser window. I use DraftPad. Sometimes I write it on paper when I'm feeling kind of weird. I've written them in dry erase marker during a shower because I didn't want to remember. Why I have dry erase markers in the showers, don't ask. I should probably change the little timer has gone on. I use a timer to time my laundry time. And there are jerk-offs who leave their stuff in the dryer. So it's like, I don't have enough dryers. Well, it's because some jerk left their shit in here overnight. Let's throw it on the roof. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Speaking of throwing on the roof, what's Justin doing up there on the roof? Obviously collecting free clothes to send to Goodwill because he's a good person. As opposed to giving them back to the people that own them. But still, now at Goodwill, other people own them. Problem solved. Here's Justin.
Space Turtle, Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com. My story for this week. What? Where am I? An island? Nothing to be found here. I'm all alone. Maybe I should build a house. There's a tree. I'll punch it for some wood. Okay, got some wood. Like a workbench, now a wooden axe, since that's faster than punching to chop down trees. Okay, got a little shed built over workbench. Getting hungry. I heard something. A pig. Broke my last axe. I'll punch the pig. Better cook this meat, punch some trees, make a pickaxe, and get some stone for a furnace. Time to make some pork chops.
Pork chops! Yay! Oop, wait, need some applesauce. Crap. See, punch some trees, some apples should fall. Make applesauce! Whee! Wait, how do you punch some trees and make a pickaxe? That's just weird. Punch a tree and make a... I don't understand this. This is why I don't play Minecraft. None of that crap makes sense. But still, now I know, punch some trees. I'm going to go outside and punch some trees for a bit. I'll be back. Ha ha, fooled you, I didn't punch any trees. Although we have a neighbor who has, I don't know if it's a lemon or a lime tree. I've tried them, they don't taste like anything, and I wonder if they're poison. But they're big and green. They may be limes. I don't know, I get limes. Usually I just do Trani syrups, and that's why my teeth start falling out. You know, that whole vitamin C thing? Scurvy? Yeah. No, actually my teeth are... Well, not fine, but... No, stop asking. You're making me all sensitive and stuff. What? June sent one in? Okay. June got one in at the last minute. Woohoo! Yay! She's doing that way too fantasy thing. As if there wasn't such a thing as too much fantasy. There is no such thing as too much fantasy. You can indulge in fantasy all you want. Ooh, fantasy flying around in it. There you go. You're soaking in it. I'm telling you. This time, I have dryers all on the bottom. All three in a row. Which means I'm going to have to bend over because my back hurts. Whew. Right. I'm an idiot. I should have counted all the shirts that I put in there so I can bring out hangers. See, that would make sense. Nope, not me. You know, take them out of there and oop, put it on a hanger. Turn it right side out, put it on a hanger. Nope, too easy. Whatever. You don't need to learn about my dirty laundry, although it's half clean now. Although it is clean, it's just drying. So, it's probably full of soap, too. You know, that always worries me, all the soap that we put in there, the surfactants. That's a word to remember. We should have that as a topic, surfactant. And that stuff all goes in the ocean, doesn't it? Unless, of course, we process it out. Yeah, right. Man, I heard that the most valuable urine in the world is ours, because we have all these vitamins in it from taking multivitamins and crap. Yeah, that's something to be proud of. Valuable urine. Well, that takes the lead-in of the day, I think. June, could you try rescuing me from my blithering?
Hi, this is June Farrimore, who is barely awake on Sunday morning, but wants to get her 100-word story in. This is called Sam the Pig. Sam liked lolling in mud. Sam did not like waking up. He also did not like being forced out of his pen for what the man called exercise and fattening up. They seemed exclusive. If he was to be fattened up, why did he also need to exercise? This afternoon was different, though. There had not been any slop in his trowel, and the man had yet to come. Sam was confused, but the mud was helping to calm him. He didn't like changes in routine. He'd seen what happened to his mother when she wasn't let into the field. Thank you for listening. Follow me on Twitter at June Farrimore. My blog is junefarrimore.com, and I'm co-editor of Way Too Fantasy magazine. Submit your fantasy or science fiction style flash. We would love to read it. Hope you have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You see, that's how to do a promo, right there. Follow all the stuff I do. I got more stuff. And there will be more stuff. And cool stuff. There you go. That's how you do it. That's not shameless at all. That's like, hey, this is where I am. Come on by. It's real nice. I got some iced tea for you. Ooh, and candles. Don't go get any bright ideas, though. Don't get fresh with me. No, seriously, don't get fresh with me. I'm like sweating like a pig. Yeah, it was raining a little bit here and there. I actually had just enough sunshine. Well, actually, the sun had already gone down. But I have this 14-inch grill. I have this, like, 24-inch grill, but really, size doesn't count, especially when all you have to cook is two steaks. I had some asparagus from last week, but, yeah, that doesn't keep too well. It turned blue. So my pee tastes normal, I guess. It's not valuable, unless, of course, you count all the vitamins, and I should have just said thank you, June, and then kicked it to Danny. Yeah, Danny wrote, I saw one in Danny's feed, and he didn't record it. He didn't send it. Now, I'm in a conundrum here. Do I post it or not? Do I post it or not? Nope, I'm not going to post it. No, I'm going to put the text in the show notes there. But no, I'm not going to have the robot. He didn't send it, so I'm not going to include it. Unless, of course, he hit send and then something got caught. But you know what? That's not my problem. I looked in my spam filter. The instructions say, hey, say weekly challenge, and it comes through. I don't think he sent it. I think he fell asleep. That's okay. It's good to fall asleep. And if you don't feel like ranting up something, man, take a week off. That's okay. It's all right. Now, there are people who take, like, years off. Those people, not okay. Unless they're off fighting crime, or they're doing cool stuff, or they're dead. Well, that's not really all that cool, but at least they have an excuse. Speaking of someone that doesn't have an excuse, that's right, Planet Z. They're the last story of the week. I'm sorry. This is a dumb one. But still, they keep sending them. So here's Planet Z with something that just skipped in the ending.
I can tell by the scent on this wine bottle cork that the wine you have served me contains feces and pork. I don't know why you'd offer such a disgusting selection. Have I done something to earn this cruel disaffection? Who would concoct such a foul potion as this that I'd sooner drink than seek out death's kiss? Did you make it yourself, or did you buy it online? What kind of mad fool makes this kind of wine? But if you insist, I will sip and then pass. Hold on. Let me think. Pour me one more glass.
Okay, at this point you go, oh, is there anything else? And I say, nope, not really, except for this ending bit. And you say, oh, what's in the ending bit? And I say, well, I thank you for listening to this week's 100-word stories weekly challenge on the topic of pork. And you go, oh, is there anything else beyond that? And I'm like, well, yeah, you can go to the show notes at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, and there you'll find links to all sorts of people's stuff and their sites and learn more about them. Oh, that's great. I'd love to learn more about them. I'm a stalker. And I'll go like, well, then maybe you want to get pictures of them. You can probably go to Facebook, and then, you know, their addresses are there. Maybe they accidentally used Foursquare in a map, and oh, now that's getting real creepy. Maybe they'll be able to follow me. Bye. And I'll be like, oh, really? Turnabout isn't fair play. Well, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. I got the crazy in my head. What's wrong with you? You have crazy in your butt or something? Really? You can go to the show notes. The text of the stories are there. You can plus one stuff, share it on social networks, whatever you want to do. But most importantly, there's comments where you can let people know, hey, that was a really great story. Now let me stalk you. And also there's the topic for next week, which I think is Spark. No, it's not Meow. Cats keep trying to interrupt. Anyway, thank you all for listening. It's been a great week. Let's have another great week, maybe one after that, and then the world's going to end. Thank you. Good night. And as always, keep it brief.